We're kind of doing things on the run here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And you can see we have Jamie Walden with us. And sometimes you got to do things on the run when your guest is on the road. And he's on the road, and you can see really good accommodations here. I'd love to be there with Jamie playing a game of pool right now, but we're going to play a game of Apophis, or as some of you say, Apophis. And we're going to talk about the dangers, the strategies, the predictions, and related events. But before we do, okay, we got to pay some bills, and I'll promise I'll keep this brief, but this is something I think you might want. This is very unique. You say, Dave, it's just binoculars. No, it's not. These are night vision binoculars, and they're not beyond the reach of average income people now. Long distance, see in the dark like it's daytime, and you can record in 4K, you could take still photos, and people go, oh, I love this because I'm an outdoor enthusiast and blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. Guess what? You do it. I do this. Look at this. It's self-defense at home. If I want to scan the horizon for threats in the dark, I have an advantage. And if you have night vision, and as my good friend Bob Griswold used to say, the late Bob Griswold, Bob used to say, if you have night vision and that guy doesn't, you're going to win. Ladies and gentlemen, nightwatchpro.com, 15% off. There's other benefits. Nightwatchpro.com. All right, Jamie, I've wanted to do a show on this forever, and I have to confess to the audience, usually I know most of the topics I interview about fairly well. I know enough on this topic to be dangerous, dangerously ignorant. So I'm so glad I have an expert like you on to explain this because what little I know, I think this is realistically, this is a threat.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. Thanks for having me on. And like you were sharing with the listeners, I'm kind of on the road. So I'm actually in a shoot house out here in Minnesota. Just spoke at a men's conference last night out here outside Minneapolis. So David called me before I left and said, hey, let's do an interview on Apophis. So I packed up all my even my audio visual stuff and did a check bag before I got out here so we could do this interview. But just as a side note for the listeners is I just went to pull all my documents. I've been doing deep dive on Apophis for about the last 3 years, give or take, really about 7 years. And I went to print off all my notes and they're nowhere on my computer. So I'm going to be doing my best to regurgitate some of the information without having the exact, primary source quotes and the different space agencies and planetary defense organizations and the dates and times of the simulations that have been re run regarding this Apophis. So I apologize to the listeners. Some of this you won't be able to instantaneously fact check because I don't have the hard data right in front of me. But I've been, like I said, absorbed in this information for long enough to be able to speak to it with a degree of authenticity and for lack of a better word, academic integrity. So with that, it's one of this concept of Apophis, which is so fascinating that it just blew up on the mainstream media within the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, everything from MSM to NBC to official NASA documents, European space agencies, all the subsidiaries, DailyMail.com, all these other mega news organizations, which basically ultimately, even into Southeast Asia and aspects of the Middle East, have picked up this story regarding Apophis. And what's fascinating about that is the information regarding Apophis has actually been available and well researched and documented for several years, 8 to 10 years, really,
Wow.
when they locked onto this thing. The late Dr. Tom Horn has done seminal work. I'm gonna just say this right off the bat. If anybody wants to do a deep dive and have a working understanding of the reality of the eschatology and the biblical worldview overlaying with what the scientific community is saying and the central planners about Apophis, is you must get Dr. Tom Horn, the late Dr. Tom Horn's books, both The Messenger, which I believe is available at Skywatch TV and probably on Amazon as well too, and also The Wormwood Prophecy. Both of them were well researched and penned by him, and it's a great consolidation of this information. But what's interesting is Dave, we'll go macro and then we'll work down into the micro, is that when you look at the reality of all of the moves of the central planners for the last 40 years, from the time that President Ronald Reagan made an address to the United Nations General Assembly in 1987, his famous quote that's often used within the Christian truth or the truther movement about, I often wonder that how quickly all of our grievances would disappear if we all understood that we were facing a common threat, an alien threat from outer space. Anybody can go watch that address from President Ronald Reagan. That was the official announcement to all the global elite and all the central planners, because all that data gets shared, that in the late or in the early 80s, they locked on to this asteroid and they absolutely mathematically know the trajectory of it. So, by the way, any flat earthers, just stop. Just don't send any emails. Don't say anything. I'm just going to say that unequivocally. The flat earth phenomenon is the most under-researched, uneducated, anti-biblical cosmology ever. Just don't even send me your stuff and say asteroids are a holographic projection and so are birds. They land on power lines to recharge because they're all drones. Like, this flat earth thing is just insane. It is a perfect psyop to convince a majority of the super duper truthers that the earth is flat. I mean, when you do a deep dive on flat earth, sorry not to get on a tangent, but I will. Deep dive on flat earth. The whole concept of a dome and a firmament and the flat earth is actually not biblical. It's actually occultic. And they misalign and misappropriate and misinterpret a handful of scriptures to justify their cosmology to then be the most militant people on the face of the earth. I think flat earthers could probably join up with Antifa and they would realize that they have more in common than they ever realized, because they're
Yeah, but
about the
don't let
most
them
militant.
breed. Don't let them
Yeah.
breed, because
They're
that'll be
about
the
the most
dumbing down.
militant people on the face of the earth. So,
Will be the
anyways.
dumbing down of the planet if you let them breed.
Yeah. So if you're flat earth, just go ahead and turn this off, because you're not going to believe anything anyways, because you don't believe NASA. You don't believe in outer space. You don't believe in asteroids. You don't believe in anything. You don't believe in cosmos. You don't believe in whatever. So just go ahead and turn it off. Okay. Now that that's out of the way, we can move on with this.
Okay, I didn't want to get interrupt that flow. That was awesome. Anyway,
Sorry. It's just, they're the number one most militant, hostile people on the face. I've never seen anything like that group. But so this is the thing, Dave, is when you look at it from the early 80s on, is it starts giving you context for what's going on. And it is because of these central planners did lock on to this space body, right? There's a difference between asteroids and comets and meteoroids and meteorites and meteors, right? There are different connotations for that. But that everything has to be viewed from that context, including the global depopulation agenda, including central bank digital currencies, including the visits to Antarctica, which most of your listeners are going to be familiar with. It's related to the transhumanism movement. It's related to the incessant, insatiable push for World War III for a very significant instantaneous global depopulation. And it's actually even the context for what went down with COVID over the last couple of years, and this forced measure, for one thing, to do things with inside our bodies. We won't go there. But also the consolidation of all forms of central planning and distribution, food distribution, and supply chains. And so it's actually all interconnected to the reality of what's going on with Apophis. This even gets into, Dave, the workings of the constructs globally, not just here Western centrically, of the what we'll call the immigration crisis, because that's the normal language that gets used for it. But it is a restructuring and a resowing even of genetic dispersions across the face of the earth, because they all know that Apophis is coming. So now let me get into some primary source information regarding that. We know absolutely that Mark Zuckerberg is currently putting in a deep underground military base on Hawaii. By the way, a particular island, Maui, we'll circle back to that. We know that the majority of the global elites are doing that. When you talk to people in the long-term storable food thing, their shelves are being cleaned out instantly. Every time we hear these words of, oh, 60 million chickens had to be culled and 1 million pigs had to be culled and all these different cattle had to be culled and all these crops were bad. Every time we hear one of those things in the news reports, those are systematically being pulled in, taken off of the consumer market, and they're actually being put into the deep underground military bases. This includes even when we think about the closing of the doors on the Svalbard seed vault, which contains all these heirloom seeds, millions of them cataloged so that they can regenerate the earth. Now, we can even take it a step further and look at even pop culture with Elon Musk and the different tech gurus, which we've seen the predictive programming in all the movies with Tony Stark and all that. And then here's the real guy. They were sowing the concept for that to come into play, to be able to have this coordination between the private and the public sector to be able to go at this threat of Apophis coming in. Now, that doesn't even get started with all the recent murmurings and physical actions that have been taken by the central planners with regards to planetary defense. And by the way, listeners, planetary defense is a real thing. There is strategies in place. There's international planetary defense. There's planetary defense treaties that have been signed into. There's all kinds of things going on with space. But
Jamie,
I say that to say is,
I want to
go ahead.
interject this real quick. My dad was on the carrier Roosevelt and in charge of rewiring the Combat Information Center when they put the first nukes on. His boss and admiral were best friends. The admiral's son, same age as me, we grew up together on various military bases. He worked for the Secret Space Group before Trump put it public. And he has told me exactly what you're saying. He has talked about the treaties, the military arrangements, how militarized space is, and you're exactly right. And it's a planetary defense system that's formed against different threats. I'll just say
Yes.
that. I'm telling you, I can verify firsthand that this is true.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and again, not to get hung up on the flat earthers, but it's significant because it's a part of a bigger deception to sow this mis and disinformation, even among the truther movement, for lack of a better word, that typically is in tune to these things. They're the ones that are breaking open the seals and exposing, the different, hidden hand of things that are going on and piecing things together. So it's actually it's a specifically targeted asymmetric warfare disinformation campaign to even really pump up this flat earth thing, because then you'll be dismissive of any data that is actually coming out of NASA and out of these other things. I have a personal friend that specifically works on space-based rovers and vehicles, and he has explained to me and told me the math that they use unequivocally for how they have to do that. I mean, I know I went to a Naval Special Warfare School on communications, based out of Coronado Island with the teams, to learn how to utilize the ionosphere to create, secure communications to bounce around the globe based on the different layers and structures of the Earth's atmosphere for our high-speed comms that we need to put up in a battle space, right? So, and then you have the initiation of even Space Force, which is incredibly relevant because let me get back on track here, and I'll kind of start with that as a lead-in.
Okay.
And 20, now don't quote me because I don't have my paper on this. It was either June of 2018 or 2019 that the central planners of Europe and the US held a simulation in New York City based on what would happen if a impact of the debris trail of an asteroid were to strike off the coast of the United States of America and take out up to one third of the Earth by this, we'll call it like a bird shot from a shotgun, a bird shot blast over one third of the Earth. It's particular to note, or you must know, paramount to note, that one third language is only ever biblical. It's only other biblical that God has said a great mountain of fire is going to be cast down in the sea, a third of the grass, a third of the trees, a third of the fish, a third of the sea, a third of the ships, a third of the earth is dark, a third of the sun is darkened, a third of the moon is darkened. One third is radically significant to the trumpet blasts in the book of Revelation, which lay out systematically what the scientific community has said they fully expect to happen with a near-earth object asteroid impingement against the Earth from a planetary space body. So the simulation was ran in 2018, 2019, right into the beginning of the Trump administration. And what they found was that nothing worked. They said all central planning failed. They ran the simulation of asteroid impact, like birdshotting the east coast of the United States. All their central planning failed. Water, sewer, electrical grid failed. they did the amount of damage from the people, the chaos factor that was included in that, how all the situational planning backed up. In the simulation, they did try a DART mission, which we know they actually physically tried, right? That's the double asteroid redirection thing that they did
Was it
about
a
2 years ago.
projectile? Was it projectile or frequency?
It was projectile. They actually smashed a, man-made technological device, like we'll just call it a satellite for ease of, imagery. And they used the jets on it to smash it into an asteroid to see if they could direct it off course. They also, in this simulation, but it's not a simulation, they're actively doing these things. They showed you in the movie Armageddon. They are actively war gaming, having to try to redirect the asteroid with a barrage of space-based nuclear weapons to see if they could remove the trajectory. Also, there is a it's under the guise of asteroid mining. If anybody wants to dig into the world of astro mining that they're talking about right now, a company called Astroforge, which says that it can land on an asteroid and drill into it and extract rare and precious metals that are worth trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. What they're telling you, though, is that they're trying to actually land rovers onto an asteroid to drill into it to detonate it from the inside out. These are all active programs currently being employed and deployed right now by the global community, because of this planetary threat of Apophis that's coming in. So after this finding, this simulation that was ran in 2019, within 6 weeks, Trump initiated Space Force. That should tell you something. And they have the most loose, obscure directive ever. Nobody really understands what Space Force actual tangible mission set is. It's unbelievably obscured. And then within that, what they're finding was from this simulation in 2018, 2019, was that the number one threat was not the effects of the asteroid, that we could recover from that. Humanity could recover from that. But what their findings were is the number one threat was what Michael Yon has coined, human osmotic pressure. The human chaos factor was what all their computer modelings set out and established. So guess what it was that their consensus was after war gaining this simulation? I'll tell you. They said, given the findings of this simulation of an asteroid being seen in the sky, the human chaos factor, the breakdown of all central planning because people won't go to work, and the chaos and the rooting and the lighting and the violence, because of the blockading of all forms of mobility and mobilization for the asteroid, because of the human chaos factor, because of the lockdown of cities, because of the human chaos factor, and because of the amount of information that was getting out through social media platforms regarding the asteroid coming, their consensus was that they needed to consolidate all forms of media now. This was 2018 into 2019. They need to consolidate all forms of media globally. They need to consolidate all governments globally so that there's one centralized government for all the world. They needed to reduce any mom and pop based forms of supply and supply chains that they couldn't control. So they needed to consolidate all the supply chains so that they could manage the supply chains. They needed to create a massive, what I'm coining, this wasn't their language, they used different, eloquent speech, but a massive form of cancel culture and social media reductionism and control mechanisms through AI algorithms to block media transmissions getting out about the truth about the threat of this asteroid. And they needed to consolidate all forms of governmental banking, and they needed to subtly do away with global sense of nationalism, because with a nationalistic pride, the communities of the world won't work together. And then lastly, Dave, lastly, what they're finding was that the Earth's population, because of the human chaos factor, was so out of control that they needed to do whatever was possible to reduce the population by several billion before the asteroid could be visible in the sky. We all know what happened in 2020, and we all know what's happening right now with World War III, and we all know what's happening with all these other things. That their findings, based on this simulation, if we think about it empirically and objectively, they have systematically been implementing ever since that simulation was ran.
Very well may be true that, and I hear your logic. I cannot find fault in your logic, but I'm calling nonsense on their justifications because they're calling for things that have very little to do with planetary defense and has everything to do with wiping out freedom and establishing a dictatorial new world order. Do you agree with that? This is an excuse to do that.
Absolutely. And so we know that they have layers of agendas that they build into these
Right,
things, right? They don't
exactly.
have plan A, B, and C. They have plan A through the entire Chinese, symbolic alphabet. So they have so many different plans here. But what the space agencies are particularly saying, and now we're seeing this soft sell, right? This predictive programming softening of the global psyche, not American. This is global information of the threat of this asteroid, is because by their science, not the official NASA science, but the other mathematicians and astronomers and astrophysicists, when they work the numbers through their modeling, not NASA's modeling, NASA says, don't worry, it's going to be a near miss. It's not a big deal. Hey, Apophis, near miss.
Cover
But the
story,
science,
cover story, cover story.
yep. But the scientific community is saying, no, when you work the numbers with integrity, this thing is going to hit the Earth. Why is that relevant? I say, I can take them from the secular scientific community. I take them at their word because the word of God exactly says that that's what's going to happen. And what's particular about it is when you read the earth sciences and the magnetospheric type changes and the different atmospheric changes and the changes in the water and the bacteria and the blah, 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 and the heat waves and the steam conversions, right? And the shifting of the jet streams and the solar wind or the wind storms with the shifting of jet streams and then the crustal place crustal shift and displacement because of the impact, the volcanism that we could expect to see, the amount of debris thrown into the air, right? They have all these crazy modelings. Such detailed earth science modelings that I know I actually believe them for once because that's exactly what the word says. It's exactly what God lays out as the judgment wormwood, right? The wormwood prophecy, which means bitterness or gall coming and striking the earth, and then the after effects and the multiple effects of these mega meteoroid or asteroid showers, meteoroid showers coming and striking the earth and peppering it like birdshot from a shotgun over one third of the earth. That's what the scientific community says. That's what the word says, and every detail in between, Dave.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, you're making my mind run wild here. You've tied together smart city, CBDC, depopulation, the need for the war, followed by the clot shot deaths. I mean, you've hit a lot of territory. But if they were sincere about stopping this asteroid, let me tell you what's wrong with their projections. And I've had this discussion with my Space Force friend. Taking down an asteroid, if it's within the Earth's gravitational pull to any degree, you break that asteroid up, you've turned one big bomb into a million small bombs. You don't change anything in reality. That was the first thing we talked about. And then we talked about Tesla technology. Why wouldn't you redirect the object by changing the gravitational field through the use of frequencies?
Yeah. Well, to your first point, Dave, I bit from a biblical worldview to your first point, I believe that that's exactly what they're going to attempt in their Nimrodian hubristic nature
Yes.
is, and that's what you see in all the movie that movie. I'm not endorsing it. It's reprobate, but Don't Look Up on Netflix. And then you have, Armageddon, and then you have, Greenland with Gerard Butler. And then you have Deep Impact. They've been showing you this since they discovered it in the 80s. They recurrently show you this. And I believe, to your first point, Dave, that that's exactly what they're going to do. Again, because biblically, what it says is there is one big chunk. It says, behold, I saw a mountain of fire cast down in the sea, right? And it destroyed this, that, and the other thing. But then it also says, and I saw stars falling from the heavens like figs ripened, being shaken from a fig
There
tree.
you go. There you
Balls of
go.
hail mixed with fire rained down all over all the earth, and a third of the earth, and a third of the grass, and a third of the trees, which when you kill that, then you get famine, right? And then a third of the fish. And so the Bible reads exactly what your friend from what your contact in Space Forces has war gamed out with you is tons, thousands, tens of thousands of smaller. They don't have to be even bigger than a softball to look like, to have the kinetic energy beyond our comprehension of a low yield nuclear weapon raining down on the earth, on one third of the earth at one time, as the earth is on its rotational, its axial rotational wobble, and it comes to the debris trail of this shattered asteroid. It's going to shotgun blast whatever one third of the earth happens to be in that rotational aspect at that time as it passes through the debris trail. So I say, absolutely. I believe in their hubristic nature, that's absolutely what they're going to do. And it's absolutely going to fail because it is actually God's just judgment on the face of the earth to get humanity's attention one last time.
Boy, interesting. So what I'm hearing from you is on multiple fronts, from economic to civil liberties to planetary safety and depopulation genocidal threats, they kind of have a unified field theory approach to weaponize Apophis to accomplish all these goals. Am I right?
Yes, that has been my empirical conclusion digging into this, is like the big aha. So it's like, you know, you study each one of these things in compartmentalization, and there may be a little bit of overlap, right, on our Venn diagram. But when I started digging into, because of studying the word, right, that's why I dug into it. I'm like, what in the, when I read the word just with childlike faith, right, no outside eschatology, super duper seminary based theological doctrinal training, but just read it as a Joe Schmo, I'm like, it reads like one consistent event from astral catastrophism based on a planetary threat. And it does this, 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 and that. I have basic scientific understanding of, like, this is what you would expect to see with the earth science changes and the great earthquakes. And again, the volcanism and the debris in the sky, even up to, it talks about the scorching of the heat in the end times, how men will hide themselves from the scorching of heat and no longer they'll feel heat. And then I'm studying about asteroids, and it talks about the disruption of these space bodies on the magnetosphere, which weakens it and thins it and allows for mega radiation, solar radiation, to come through and literally scorch humanity. And here's the interesting part about that, Dave. Guess what they say regarding this from the astronomy-based and astrophysics world, is they say that that solar radiation with the perturbance in the magnetosphere could potentially alter the genetic strain and corrupt the genetic strain. So we should plan accordingly to change the genetic strain of humanity for this future event. Enter transhumanism. That's why I'm like, the more I'm like, oh my goodness. It was the big, like, Jamie P. Brain aha moment, was like, dude, this is all connected. They know this is all about the asteroid. They know. And then so even modern monetary theory, right? Modern monetary theory, which is spin to oblivion, which no economist in the world knows works. They all know it's a farce, yet they're doing it. Why? Because they know the reset's coming. None of it matters. None of it matters. So they're just going gangbusters from all these different levels because they absolutely know that they know, because of the mathematical precision, that it is a certainty at this date and this time, everything's going to change. And by the way, if I haven't mentioned it yet, according to the International Space Bodies, that's in 2029, April 2029. Why is that relevant? Because if you're looking at it from a biblical worldview, that is the midpoint of the tribulation, is when this, when the trumpets start getting broke open and Wormwood comes, is right smack in the middle of the tribulation. And it's after that, that all the world governmental consolidation stuff goes on. So back up 3.5 years from April of 2029, and you arrive at October 2025 is when we would expect to begin to see really bad things as described in great detail in the Bible breaking out. When was the Deagle Report? 2025. What's World Economic Forum? 2025. What's the Davos Group findings? 2025. What's the rollout of different emerging technologies and the transition over to AI? Again, all that AI depopulation agenda is because of the asteroid. It's all centered on 2025.
Yeah.
Everything is centered on 2025 for a reason, because 2029 is when they expect to have the effects. I'm not saying, by the way, let me make this definitive statement. This is not an extinction level event. This is not an ELE. This is a near Earth object, right? Or potentially PHO, potentially hazardous object. And the effects of the debris in the debris trail is what we see listed biblically, not some earth shattering, exploding thing that you see in movies. That's not biblical. There's no biblical basis for that. An asteroid does not destroy the Earth. An asteroid affects the Earth in a mega way. So,
what happened with the dinosaurs? Didn't dinosaurs perish because of an asteroid?
Yeah, and that gets into like the Younger Dryas theory and these different aspects, even with the Noahic flood and you know, different systematic things that occurred throughout time. And there's even a lot of overlap with, you know, people out there, like I think of a Gil Broussard off the top of my head, that do the deep dive on Planet X, you know, Planet 7, Planet X, Gabriel's Fist, Nibiru, lots of different names out there. And even archaeologically and throughout historicity, there's depictions of this winged planet, even in their pictographs and hieroglyphs and geoglyphs and stuff like that, that cycles back around on a very systematic cycle. And then when it does, that's when the mega things occur. So there's been some really adept researchers that have actually looked at it biblically, everything from the flood to when the sun stood still in the days of Joshua, to the sign in the sky in the days of Nineveh with Job preaching to Nineveh, and different other astral catastrophism based things like Sodom and Gomorrah and the fire and brimstone from the heavens raining down, that it was, they've done it and marched it out, or systematically it was on the exact a celestial cycle to the year, to the day of exactly what they're talking about going on with Apophis. So there is some linear interconnectivity to all that as well, Dave.
Wow. Let me go down a couple of different avenues here with you, because you've given us so much. Solution-based. I know the Philadelphia experiment was real. It was Tesla-based technology. And they wanted to take the Eldridge, fire a projectile at it, and have it dematerialize to be like in a different dimensional reality, a different space, and then come back to its original position. And it was a defensive mechanism. Wasn't a cloaking device, but it failed miserably because when they reappeared, men were meshed into bulkheads and just terrible, terrible things happened. Okay. When my father went to work with the German scientists after World War II, and his duty date started in 1957 on doing this, he talked to the Germans about dematerialization, and we have the technology. It's actually been rolled out. Leipzig, Germany, 2008. They dematerialized and rematerialized an object. There's video of it. It used to be on YouTube, but then they scrubbed it. If you apply that technology and could project it with a craft, you should be able to dematerialize the object and put it into a hyperspace dimension, and it could actually pass through the same plane as the Earth without impacting the physicality of the Earth. Do you know if that's ever been discussed as a possible strategy to use old Tesla technology via the Philadelphia experiment, but modernize it and dematerialize and rematerialize the object after it passes through?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. That's fascinating. And, you know, knowing and understanding their depth of insight regarding harmonic resonance, waveform, ELF, you know, extremely low frequency based, what we'll call directed energy weapons, It wouldn't surprise me if they have that type of capability. And again, that goes back to even this implementation of Space Force, right? This planetary defensive strategy, and the amount of private sector satellites or whatever they're putting up everywhere. I mean, there's a French company that's putting up more than even Tesla. There are so many things going into space within the last 5 to 6 years that it's unfathomable. And it cannot be for the simplicity of high speed telecom so that they can achieve their Internet of Things and implement the beast system. I mean, I know that's a secondary part of it, right? Is to have this counterfeit omniscience and omnipresence through technology over the face of the earth. But there's also these secondary things, and I believe it is because they understand what's coming on the face of the earth with regard to this asteroid, because of the math involved. Math at levels that guys like you and I can't understand, that they do know. People go, oh, they couldn't know. And it's like, no, they actually do know. And they're pretty accurate. Not to say that they catch everything, right? Because they do miss certain stuff all the time. We're getting reports from the space agencies about how they didn't see something coming, or it was hidden behind something else and they missed it. And their math calculations were a little bit off. I mean, obviously, there's always going to be a human error component. But for the most part, they're able to be fairly accurate with this. And again, let me back up. This gets into the whole, idiocracy of the truther movement to deny every single thing that comes out of NASA because we didn't land on the moon. And it's like, how strategic is it to make you deny every piece of data that comes out of NASA? It's like, does NASA lie? Sure. Have they faked and done whatever because of different geopolitical and geostrategic things that are going on in the world at particular times, Cold
Yep.
War era and all that? Absolutely, unequivocally, that's what governments do. But it would be a fool's errand in a red herring argument to deny all the data that comes out of NASA because you think they just, shot the moon landing in a studio. And it's like, okay, maybe they did, but that doesn't mean that their data is wrong. Like, there's real science with real scientists with real brains that are really crunching the numbers, and this is what they come up with. And even the amateur astronomers, and by the way, amateur astronomers are amateur. They are not amateur by any means. My uncle in Rock Island, Illinois, had a huge observatory in the back of his house. The whole dome door sliding thing, rotating computer program to sync up to the stars again. Any flat earther, sorry, you're just straight up deceived beyond comprehension. And he was a part of amateur astronomy-based things where he would even go to Hawaii at particular times of the year, down into Arizona, Southwest Desert, where there's more clarity. And these amateur astronomers are usually the ones that are locking onto these objects and working the data in a form of integrity, because there's no governmental bureaucratic control
Sure,
mechanisms.
sure, sure.
And they're saying that this thing is being locked onto. Because I mentioned it,
I
let
want to
me.
ask you, I want to do
Yeah, go
origin
ahead.
question before you go forward. Do you know when Apophis was actually discovered or planned?
If I had my notes, I do. There's a date and time and why it was named and where they locked onto.
Yeah, ballpark idea.
I can't. I believe it was in the what they say is in the late 80s, but again, I don't have my data in front of me. What's something we
Jamie,
should.
let me tell you what I suspect, but you go further away from this. I know this is true for a fact. Tesla had his files raided upon his death. They took 60 boxes, 80 boxes, and they've kept 20. They released 60 now under Freedom of Information Act. What my father told me was that there was a different physics for Tesla, and the decision was made after his death and continued on, that they would stick with Newtonian physics as much as possible for the education of our students, three-dimensional physics, and take the magical physics, so to speak, the hyperdimensional physics, and use it amongst themselves. And I asked my father, what would be the purpose for that? He goes, one, control of technology, advanced technology. And he said, that's obvious. And he said, that has monetary implications, political power implications. But he also said, there's another factor. If we knew of a threat in space, and he wasn't specific, he said the advanced physics would be the way to go. And these are discussions he had with the Germans. And I'll give you one more on this. Vance Davis, good friend of mine, 32-year friend, was with the NSA attached to NATO, and they were taught in their briefings, good guys, bad guys fought in the cosmos. The bad guys lost. They were cast down to Earth. Hello, Genesis 6 and Fallen Angels and the Nephilim. And so Vance said their goal, as they were told, was to crack the human soul and destroy God's prized creation. He said they were more secular in their explanation, but he said effectively it was Genesis 6. He then went on to say they couldn't crack the soul, so they decided to change the human being. And he described transhumanism to me in 1991 with great detail, but they didn't use the word transhumanism then. He didn't call it that, but he described it. He wrote a book called Unbroken Promises where he describes it. So what I'm telling you is this is satanic, number one. It's satanic in origin because it's fallen angel. But number two, I bet Apophis is a directed weapon that's been coming for some time.
That's interesting that you should say that, because there is some speculation out there that somehow it's guided or whatever. And it's interesting to note that Apophis is an Egyptological deity. That's very particular. Anybody who has a biblical worldview, that Egypt is spoken of regularly from a spiritual connotation, not the geographical land of Egypt, but of the ruling principality of Egypt, all the way into the book of Revelation. Egypt is recurrent and breaks back onto the scene, this Egyptological spirit. And Apophis is a god of chaos, a serpentine god of chaos is what it's referred to as, which is interesting because in Genesis 1:1, when the world was tohu and bohu, it began with Leviathan, the chaos dragon, a serpentine chaos dragon. And then here you are, they just happen to name it Apophis, this Egyptological god of chaos and darkness. And the particular qualifier about Apophis, of the etymology of the Egyptian god, is that it cannot be reversed. That's a very particular moniker in reference to the Egyptological god of chaos, is that when Apophis comes, it can never be reversed. That's what they named this asteroid. And to move even a little bit more into that realm, is that they're now sending these different missions, these space-based missions, in preparation for this thing. And their mission is called OSIRIS-REx, and it's the Bennu something mission. And again, all these are hardcore Egyptological ruling principalities. But what's interesting about the fact that they call it OSIRIS is OSIRIS is an etymological transition of what is also Apollos or Apollyon, the great destroyer. Oh, that's interesting. It says, and behold, I saw a star thrown down from the skies who had a key to the bottomless pit, right? And this goes into a lot of what's going on with CERN. And they had a king over him, and its name was Apollyon or Apollos, the destroyer. And these things were loosed onto the earth. So what the scientific, that's why I say, when you read the scriptures on one end, and then you read the scientific community on the other end, they're literally saying the exact same thing. They're saying the exact same thing. And so, yes, they will use this context for their Luciferian, agendas of consolidation, one world government, one world religion, central backed digital currencies, passports to come and go, reduction of mobility, consolidation of everything, the removal of all freedom. Absolutely, they will use it to their ends because they believe on the back end of it that they will be able to restructure even biologically, not to mention governmentally, economically, militaristically. They'll be able to restructure and consolidate everything after the fact. So, like any sense of,
One phrase,
go
build
ahead.
back better.
There you go. Build back better. And as we know, on the back of every dollar bill, right, and everywhere else, is the phoenix arising out of the ashes, in order ab chaos, order out of chaos, right? That is their pursuit. To see this global restoration of Nimrodian, Babylonian, centralization be birthed back onto the scene with the intermixing of genetic manipulation and open warfare against the Holy God. I mean, it's all interconnected, and that's why I feel like I'm always beating a dead horse, because I'm like, if you don't understand the macro, we won't get the details that are going on. So that's why all this is significant. And they always use Hollywood Two solo, they're usually, I've noticed that they're generally about 4 years in advance. Whatever they show you now, you can expect in about 4 to 6 years is typically, seems to be the Hollywood predicted programming. And with the movie Greenland and Don't Look Up and a couple of, there's that one, I don't know,
Sure.
Holly Berry about the moon, blah, blah, blah. Like, and even a Geostorm with Gerard Butler and all these, like, they are showing you what they're doing because that's actually what they're doing and they know what's coming next. So that movie Don't Look Up is so radically prescient. I don't suggest it again because the language is just ridiculous, but it shows you the central planners and the scientific community warning, but then the narcissism of humanity and pop culture being oblivious and making a joke of everything. And then the central planners being so pathetically inept that they literally create a campaign around the election cycle where they shout, "Don't look up. Don't look up. Whatever you do, do not look up. Deny the fear and the threat that's coming because we need to consolidate everything." And the scientists are going, "Look up, look up, look up." And in the movie, there's this great crescendo where everybody's rallying around this reprobate president saying, "Don't look up. Don't listen to the data about that. The earth is going to end. Everything's going to go on as normal and we're going to have peak prosperity." And then all of a sudden, while everybody's at this rally, they actually see the asteroid in the sky. And then the human chaos factor instantaneously ignites. And
Is
so,
there any
go
way that
ahead.
Project Bluebeam comes into play here?
I believe that there's some component of it with even the soft disclosure, UAP,
Yeah, there you
ATEP
go.
program stuff, MUFON ATEP and all that there must be some secondary component that I don't think we'll know until after the fact on how that will be used
I
to
have a guess.
consolidate.
I have a guess. Here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. It's an alien weapon. We are at war. We must consolidate, wipe out national governments, one government, one currency. We all need to be on the same page. You got to make sacrifices. This is a threat to humanity, blah, blah, blah. So they use the approaching object as a reason for unification, all of the Independence Day theme in the movie we saw.
Yes. Well, and like we even we started out the program with Dave, that's verbatim what President Ronald Reagan said in his address to the United
Exactly.
Nations General Assembly, that
Exactly.
all of our differences with, see, religion, borders, cultural, geopolitical, whatever, all the different identity politics globally would cease to exist if we had a singular unifying alien threat from outer space. I didn't say that. That's what President Ronald Reagan said before the United Nations General Assembly.
This is. I can see why you said this is in the middle of tribulation and this will start the reign of hell, 3.5 years long. And with the earth in shambles, building it back better will be done from a satanic perspective and it'll be horrendous. I can see why you believe this. I could see this being a precursor to the 3.5 years of misery.
Yep, and notice what comes in with the B system. It's a system, a governmental system, and the B system is the consolidation. It's consolidation of everything, and it's total control of everything. And what's particular about it is that it's with preaching or proclaiming peace and security that he's able to galvanize whatever the system is, and the figure of the system is able to galvanize everybody under the singularity of a new religious system, a global centralized religion where everybody's unified, governmental system, economic system, and to a degree, militaristic system. There is scriptures that allude to not everybody's on board, which you would expect, right? Competing interest. Not everybody's on board. But this even gets into, Dave, like things that are going on with the deep underground military bases, the bunkers, all this talk about off-earth arcs being built. And again, we see that in movies like
And Elon Musk, we
Elysium
must
and
leave the
Oblivion.
planet. Yeah.
Yeah. And they want to leave
Yeah.
the planet. So let's get biblical on it. It specifically says in Obadiah, though you set your nest among the stars, I'll bring you low. Like you're going to try to get off earth because my judgments are coming. Then it says in the book of Revelation that all the great men, all the mighty men, all the generals, all the well, hide themselves in the rock of the earth from the great and terrible day of the Lord. So they're going to try to go in the
Yeah.
earth or off the earth because of the judgment of
Mark.
God. It's
Mark
all biblical.
Zuckerberg, Mark
Yeah.
Bucket Zuckerberg, and And you got Elon Musk. They're right there.
And let me share this with you. This is I'm one. I'll share two stories with you, Dave. I'm one person removed. So I always give that qualifier. So this is not primary source. I'm one person removed from the source. One was the, I won't give the name because I don't want anything to come back on them. But we'll say the top three, in any major corporation, you have CFO, CEO, CEO, right? This was the wife in the top three of Cargill, the largest
Shipper.
manufacturer in the United States of America, at a dinner party. I'm one guy removed from this. This is friends that are related in different intelligence communities, eating with them at a dinner party 1 year ago, and under the influence of some alcohol, said, you know what? They were talking politics and they're talking economies. And I mean, these are in the know. These are the top tier in the know. And she is quoted as saying, it doesn't really matter because, and we only have about a year and a half anyways, till we acquiesce to the Chinese and they come in and take over everything. And then the government gets consolidated, in a restructuring the whole earth. That's what she said. Okay. There's one. I'm one person removed from that comment. That was a wife of somebody at Cargill. So huge to contextualize what that means. The other one is I was just told last night, a one person removed. He's a high-end electrical engineer and at levels I don't really understand, but specifically works in the planning and the implementation and the construction aspect of private sector underground bunkers and underground bunkers and security shelters for the top tier elite, like billionaires and beyond. And he was told, and I quote, last week, all of this, as he was working on one of them, I won't even mention the state or anything, he was told all this must be completely done by April 1st because everything is going to change. That's what he's told. So
April
the
1st this year.
April 1st of this year said it must be done. Now, that doesn't mean something's going to happen right after April 1st, but he's saying that's the imminency of what's going on. So why is this relevant? Because what we see with regards to the data coming out from these space agencies is it is their speculation, informed speculation, that this Apophis will be visible in the sky sometime into late 2025 and onward. And they know that as soon as it is visible, you're done. You're done as far as being able to control the central planning to even have mobility, open freeways, highways, byways, shipping lanes, blah, blah, blah. Notice what they're doing with consolidating all the shipping lanes because of what's happening with the Houthi rockets, right? Suez Canal is done. The Bin al Mandeb Strait done. Strait of Gibraltar is being threatened right now. Panama Canal done. Like everything is systematically being closed in. The dragnet is being closed in. And in even this push for electric vehicles and this green movement is to completely eliminate your mobility. It's to
Why?
reduce
Why do
mobility
they
because of
want to
a
do that?
human osmotic pressure, human chaos factor. Mobility equals freedom. Freedom equals increased chaos. They actually, as wicked as they are, they're not stupid. They need to manage the chaos so that things are still functional. If you have guys that aren't showing up to work at the power plant, they're screwed, right? If you have guys that aren't showing up at the water treatment plant or your road workers or your high voltage power line guys working in remote areas, you're done. If your trucks can't move, your ships can't move, you're done. So they actually do need a degree of we call it calculated risk in my world of emergency management. They take calculated risk in a way that they can still manage the chaos without losing total control. That's why it's all about 2025, because they know when this thing is seen in the sky, you just done lost the narrative, for lack of a better word, right? Like you lost it, chaos. Everybody's gonna go full gangbusters on self-preservation. And like even their simulations discovered, the number one threat is human chaos factor, not the asteroid. It's people. Humanity are the problem. Humanity are dangerous, especially when they're
Big
under
time.
high intensity fear and critical humanity is the most humans are the most dangerous animal in the animal kingdom, for lack of a better word, as soon as a fear response is triggered in them. I know that
That's
from
it's
personal
true,
experience.
because we can use higher level thinking to augment our panic, where animals
Yes.
will like just kind of a knee-jerk reaction. We can actually plan how devastatingly evil we want to be.
Exactly.
It would. We only got about 2 minutes left, but so I wanted to ask the question this way, in a way of conclusion: is revival a possibility to push this back?
No, I don't believe so. I personally, this is just my opinion, and that's fine. I mean, people can disagree with
Why
it.
you're on my show. I want your
Yeah.
opinion.
Yeah, I don't subscribe at all to the emotionally predatory language of revival that's going around out there in the NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, Dominionism, Preterist, Amillennialist type ilk. That is highly emotionally predatory. And the reason why I say I don't subscribe to it is you don't get revival without repentance, and there is no repentance in the
That's
land.
my
Now,
point. That's my point. You'd have to repent and then have revival. That's where I
yes.
was going with my question. But you don't see that as a logical development, do you?
No, I don't. And I do believe, as much as the elites will spin all the narrative and manipulate it and massage it and dis and misinformation it, that this is from the hand of God and they know it. And that's why they're all preparing. Like the occultists and the adepts and the
Oh.
global elite and the deep state, they're more in tune to the word and who God is than the Christians could ever be.
Well,
They're very
they
well
know their
aware.
enemy, Jamie. They know their
Yes.
enemy.
And
They
so I believe that they absolutely unequivocally know that this is the judgment of God, and that's why they're doing everything to try to fight against it. Now, Dave, I know we're running short on time, but as this grenade in the room before we get out of here, is that gets into the entire I can't even think, not the green movement, what do they call it? Not geoengineering. What's the thing everybody talks about? Climate change, right? That's the basis for this, is so that you will actually dismiss that it's God's judgment on the earth. And even the earth changes coming because of the space bodies and blah, 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 and gravitational pulls and magnetospheric
Right.
changes and all these things, that
I
even.
got to close this, Jamie. So let me say
Yeah,
this.
go for it.
What you're saying, and I want to put it in conclusion, this is God's Sodom and Gomorrah for the earth.
Absolutely. Yep,
Yeah. And you better
absolutely.
get on your knees. You better repent. Salvation is personally available. And ladies and gentlemen, God's on your side. They're not. Jamie, absolutely fascinating. Thank you for your time. It was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dave. I appreciate it.
Take care.